We are certainly thankful for your presence here today and for the visitors particularly. We're glad that you are here. Hope you'll come back at every opportunity and visit with us. My apologies for the man making the announcements. He undoubtedly has some books that we need to go over to his house and burn, getting all this information from. But he will enjoy his trip to Vicksburg, great place to visit, but no need to take your gun or the war's over, at least that one. We may be having another civil war in our country before long. There was a farmer who visited a large city. In a restaurant before eating, the man bowed his head in a prayer of thanksgiving. I'm sure that we do that and we see others who do that. But seeing this, a young man sneeringly asked, "Say, old man, back where you come from, does everyone pray before he eats?" And the farmer quietly replied, "The hogs don't." It is nearly Thanksgiving, it's hard to believe. Christmas not far behind. And on those days and several other holidays during the year, I feel like a pig for eating all those delicious foods. But I don't feel like a hog because I always offer thanks to God. Someone once asked me if I ever had preached a sermon on gluttony. And I said, well, I never have, and I really don't anticipate doing so. Certainly, it's probably a sermon that I need, and I don't know about you, but I'm sure that I need. You should be thankful to God every day for everything that He provides for you and for me so very generously. And I am very thankful that at this point, this nation still sets aside a day of Thanksgiving. And I know it's still a couple of weeks, but I'm going to preach about it again next week, so I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anybody. In Luke chapter 17, as was pointed out, beginning in verse 11, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." There is a certain uniqueness about Luke's gospel. You are aware, I'm sure, that Luke was a physician, we're told in Colossians 4 and verse 14, and he sometimes accompanied Paul on his missionary journeys. He is the only Gentile writer of the 4 gospel accounts. The event of the 10 lepers emphasizes 2 of Luke's most frequent themes. One, that non-Jews who have faith are loved by God, even as Jews were loved by God, and they are pleasing to him. And number two, receiving God's healing should always result in thanksgiving. When Jesus was in Nazareth, certainly you know that's his hometown, he read from the scroll of Isaiah, precisely from Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. He was in the synagogue, and it was on the Sabbath day. He told the people that that scripture was fulfilled on that day. And he also said that no prophet is acceptable in his own hometown. He continued in his discourse by saying that Elijah went to the land of Sidon to raise the dead son of a widow woman who was a Gentile. And he said there were many lepers in the land of Israel in the days of Elisha, but only Naaman, the Syrian, a Gentile, was healed by him. And certainly in like manner, Jesus, who was a Jew, was portrayed as a prophet who was rejected by the very people to whom he was sent. Now, we're not to conclude that Luke was anti-Semitic, but he wanted his fellow Gentiles to not be discriminated against and kept out of the kingdom of God. He knew that many of them had more faith than God's covenant people, which was truly an embarrassment to the Jews. Now I want us to look briefly at the plight of the lepers in that day. Lepers were the outcast of society during Old Testament and New Testament times. And if their leprosy was contagious, they were completely isolated from other people, including their own families. If they were not contagious, they were still isolated to some degree. If they were walking along the road and they approached people who were also walking, they were to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," and move to the opposite side of the road from the non-lepers. How disheartening that must have been to be a leper. Some of you, I'm sure, remember when the UT Health Center at Tyler on Highway 271 was called the Chest Hospital. At that time, people who had infectious tuberculosis were kept there and they were isolated so their disease would not spread into the general society. The 10 lepers cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And can you blame them? They had little hope of getting well on their own. But I wonder, how did they know who Jesus was? Why did they think that he could heal them? They must have heard from others that Jesus had healed people. And how did they know he was a master? He was a master teacher. He was a master physician. They must have seen him heal other people as well. And in our story, there's an emphasis, as you would expect Luke would do, about the Samaritans. Who were the Samaritans? And this was the name that was given to the new and mixed inhabitants whom Esarhaddon, who around B.C. 677, the king of Assyria, he brought from Babylon and other places, settled the cities of Samaria with people who were from those regions. They were Gentiles. And we might remember also Sargon in BC 721. He had moved most of the Jews from Samaria into Babylonian captivity. And so the only ones that were left in Samaria were those who were elderly and those who, some women, and also some who were disabled and some children as well. These strangers, mixed with the Jews still remaining in the land, and they gradually abandoned their old idolatry and adopted at least a part of the Jewish religion. And they were considered what we might refer to as half-breeds, even though that is not a politically correct term, so you didn't hear me say that. The pure Jews had little, if anything, to do with the Samaritans, and often it was the same way with the Samaritans and the Jews. But again, sometimes the Samaritans had more faith than God's covenant people. If memory serves me correctly, that was the largest group healing that Jesus did. He usually healed one person or two people or a group of people maybe, but a small group. And usually Jesus healed the one or the two people immediately and right there on site where they were. But we also know that the healings of Jesus were varied. The only way that lepers could be assimilated into society was for the priest to declare them ceremonially clean. That's precisely what Jesus told them to do. He was still living under the old law. He told them to go see the priest. The interesting thing to me, and if you're following the bulletin, this will come later, but the interesting thing to me is here was a man who was a Samaritan, who was cleansed. He was a Gentile. And unless he was a proselyte, he wouldn't have to go to the priest to show himself to the priest. But we have to assume that he was probably a proselyte. The 10 lepers were not healed immediately. And they were not healed at that point where they were with Jesus. The scripture says, as they went, they were cleansed. That means they had to have enough faith in Jesus to begin walking toward the priest. And then they were healed on the way. Now, I don't know about you, but it seems to me if someone healed me from this terrible disease, I would want to go back and thank them. It's remarkable that only one of the men returned to thank Jesus. And he was the Gentile. He was the Samaritan. It made me wonder, are there times when you and I don't thank God enough? Are there times when we don't thank our Lord Jesus Christ for the rich blessings that he provides for us every day that we live? Sometimes we sing the song, "Count your many blessings, see what God has done." And we realize that if we were to sit down and count all the blessings that God has provided for us, we would be praying, we would be thanking for a long time. Jesus told the Samaritan when he returned. Your faith has made you well. What did Jesus mean? Well, certainly it was his faith in Jesus as Christ, the Son of the living God, that enabled him to be healed. If he had not had that faith, Jesus would not have healed him. But he had enough faith, and he turned back to Jesus, and he thanked him, and he praised him. And we're told that he praised him with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, and he gave him thanks there. This indicates that the Samaritan not only thanked the Lord, but he also worshiped him. The other nine Jews seemingly did neither. So it seems to me that the point that Luke is trying to make for you and for me is make certain that you thank the Lord every day. I'm thankful that we do have a Thanksgiving Day. I'm grateful for that. As a nation, there are some people that do turn to God and thank God on that day that normally would not. But a thanksgiving to God, as I said, is every day. Every day that we think about him, every day that we thank him for something that he has provided for us, we should be the most thankful people in all the world. Came across the words of a song entitled "Thank You, Lord" by the Easter Brothers. I come before you today, and there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given to me. For all the blessings that I cannot see. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name. For all you've done in my life, you took my darkness and gave me your light. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You took my sin and my shame. You took my sickness and healed all my pain. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Isn't that the spirit that Christians should have every day? Isn't that the realization that God loves us and he pours out his blessings on us so that we can enjoy life here on this earth as we are preparing ourselves for eternal life? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to and who wants to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you want the prayers of your brothers and sisters, or if you want to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.